From Studio Live in beautiful Cumberland, BC, you're listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser.
And as always, I'm your co-host, Darren Howlett. And thanks for joining us again on as we explore the food culture of the Comox Valley and beyond.
Yes, we'd like to welcome all our listeners back and hope you enjoyed our last episode where we had to talk a little bit about Merville Organics. And as we promised, we kept them around here because we want to talk about...
Yeah, CSAs.
CSAs. What is a CSA?
CSA stands for Community Supported Agriculture. Okay. So what it really is people in your community investing in your farm by promising to purchase or to promise purchasing in advance vegetables every week for a finite amount of time. In our case, it's 16 weeks over the summer.
Okay.
Some people do it and, for less, depending on the growing season. And what is happening when a community member does that is they're actually investing in your farm or your, in our case, Merville Organics, so that the farmers can then use that income when they need it, right, for seed or for infrastructure or for any of the things that you need when you're starting the season.
Right. So, it sort of seems to that it sprung from the need for just a distribution of when you need your capital, i.e. you don't necessarily be paid at the end of the growing process. You need to be paid at the beginning of the growing process to ensure that there's a healthy growing process, right?
Right.
Yeah. And then the other sort of benefit that I could see, and please correct me if I'm wrong, as we haven't even discussed this yet, I'm just taking from what I've read, but it seems that the other benefit would be that you also have a guarantee that your product is both necessary and needed and called for. So
absolutely.
Rather than just, hopefully somebody buys
a Swiss chard this week.
Right.
I think the most exciting part of it, having had a summer last summer where I had a lot of Swiss chard sitting on the farm stand, is that we know it's going to go into people's bellies, or at least their fridge.
Right.
and it also means that we can then plan for it, which is a really big deal, right?
Yeah.
You know how much kale to grow, how much carrots, how many carrots, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? I think we just dove right in, but if you didn't listen to our last episode, we're speaking with Mariette from Whitaker Farms.
Yes, hi.
And we're speaking to Kira from, I'm going to get it this time, Cloverdalen. I keep saying Cloven. It's Cloverdalen. Cloverdalen. We're going to say that a million times. Okay. Yeah, and do you have anything to add to that? The necessarily like the overarching benefit?
Those are the main benefits for us farmers, and then for customers or CSA members, we refer to people as, you get a guaranteed box of like the best of our produce every week, and generally a bit of a better selection than what might end up on our market stands. Yeah, and I think most members really enjoy having a little bit of a challenge of just having to cook whatever local produce is showing up on your plate. You know, it really pushes you into eating seasonally and locally and exploring recipe ideas and stuff like that.
Because that's usually part of the CSA, too, is that there's a newsletter that comes out and that recipes are shared and cooking ideas so that people can really engage with their local food system.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And face-to-face time with the farmer so you can ask questions and learn about a couple new vegetables. And yeah.
So a CSA, there seems to be sort of varying rates. Maybe I'm misreading this. Maybe I'm misunderstanding it. But you had just said the CSA box program. So to me, the CSA, in the way that the literature lays it out, it sounds more like almost like a restaurant could be CSA, or is this more to just this is like individual homes?
Yeah, thanks for clarifying that. It is a bit of a so the CSA, community supported agriculture. It could work for larger customers, restaurants and stuff like that, but it's generally been turned into basically a veggie box program. model. So the idea is the customers, families sign up in the beginning of the season in the spring.
Right.
Pay for their share in advance and then receive one box of like a nice variety of vegetables once a week for the whole summer.
Right.
That's the most common CSA model. There's like thousands of them through the US and quite a few in Canada too. And definitely could be applied to restaurants and wholesale customers, but that's a lot less common.
Right. Yeah, no, again, just doing cursory reading, I saw that there was 15,000 in practice in North America right now, which is absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. My brother and I, after we had both grown up and moved out, we ended up being roommates again for a few, I was probably about 2 years there. And at the time, I think this was probably 15 years ago, maybe. And at the time, it was brand new. Like, it was a new sort of underground, like, what? There's a thing? And they deliver awesome stuff, and you just, who knows what's going to be in it? And we were doing it more like, we participated as purchasers just because it seemed like this novel idea to just have somebody show up with awesome things. And we were doing it more for the surprise element rather than necessarily the support element. But we were like that. We were like, oh, there's this? Well, let's make this out of it. You know, that's the way we were. But in the last few years, my lifestyle just didn't really support having that. Just the transient nature in that. I'm always working. I'm never at home. I talk about food all the time and I barely have time to make any. But yeah, I absolutely support the idea of it and love it. And now that things are slowing down and I have more free time, I definitely look forward to doing it again, participating again.
You know, my stepdaughter lives in Edmonton and we just found her a CSA for the summer because I thought she's a kid in school.
Yeah. Right?
She's studying nursing. I thought, oh, what could we give her? We could give her food. We can't give her our own food. That's a little harder to ship. So she's getting a CSA for the summer.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
That's an excellent opportunity.
Like, yeah.
I mean, myself coming from being a chef and what, to me, it's just a big black box for me. Like, to get that box in there is exciting for me because then I can challenge myself. I remember Lucas Steve Hodder, who I worked under at the Kingfisher and did my apprenticeship under, right. He always used to say, you know, anyone can cook good food, but only a chef knows how to use up everything that is in front of him. So I've always had that as a challenge. So I always love that the CSA thing is that this is what's fresh, this is what's local, this is what we should be cooking with, and this is the best product to have right now. So it's great to have that at your home and be able to have it delivered to you or pick it up or whatever way and experiment with it and just see. You find something you may not have realized you mm-hmm. liked before.
Yeah,
so
yeah. It's like your own food network challenge.
Exactly.
In your home.
It's true. I wouldn't be surprised in the least if that's where that show got its ideas from.
Yeah, yeah.
Is the idea that somebody just brings this magical box of what's perfect right now and you gotta go with it. And so how long has Merville Organics been involved or been doing a CSA program?
I believe it's been as long as Merville Organics has been around. I'm going to toss that over to Kira. But I do believe I was looking through our archives and I saw some evidence of a smaller CSA with Moss.
Yeah, it's Merville Organics has been through a couple different... It basically started off super small with Arzina Amir and Moss Dance.
Right.
And so they had quite an informal... they ran a box program together, but they weren't an official co-op. They were just kind of pooling, like working together and doing a little box program in the market together. And they did that for a couple of years, I think starting 2011, 2012.
Right.
Sorry, can't be sure. Somewhere around there.
Well, Arzina could have been here.
Yeah. So winter of 2014, the group got a little bigger. They basically reached out to a couple other farms in the valley, and we registered as an official cooperative and sort of started setting up our systems a little better. And the CSA has been growing by 25-30% every year. So we did 60 members in 2015. Yeah. 90 last year, and we're aiming for 120 this year.
Wow.
So that's the goal, is 120 for this year?
Yeah.
And if people want to participate, what kind of commitment is there, and what kind of, when do they need to be letting you know that they want to be signing up for this? And
yeah, great question. We haven't actually set an official registration closed date yet. Mm-hmm. Last year it was at the end of March. Well, last year we just happened to sell out by the end of March, and there's a good chance that'll happen again, but I would say registration will probably be shut down by mid-April.
Wow.
So yeah, it's a get your foot in the door early, make a commitment early spring kind of idea. Pay for the season in advance, so it's just over 400. It's 425 this year?
420. Oh dear.
In and around that amount.
In and around that amount. Okay. And then depending on where you get it dropped off, there's another fee after that.
Oh, so, okay.
A little additional gasoline tax.
Right. Yeah.
So that's for a 16-week veggie box program starting first week of June. So
wow. And so what can people look forward to as far as, like, not necessarily the product, because that's part of the fun, but this is like for a family of four, or is it for a family of two, or is it?
Well, people's vegetable eating habits are so drastically different that it's hard to put that kind of a label on it. But I'd say a two-person family if you're like a really huge vegetable eater.
Yeah. Right.
And four is probably the most comfortable fit. I'd say we aim to put in six to eight items in the box per week, and that'll be a typical like 1 pound bunch of carrots, 1 pound bunch of beets, a pint of blueberries,
or like a head of lettuce,
a good
your average amount,
healthy size bunch of kale, that kind of thing.
Right,
so some herbs and garlic and that sort of thing.
So that's pretty amazing.
So it's like a big
eight portions of veggies every week, organic veggies, locally grown,
super fresh,
delivered.
Yeah,
yeah, that's amazing.
And lots of love of love in those veggies.
And it's all organic.
And yeah.
So the bonus on there. So it sounds like it's probably a bit of a saving than going to the grocery store over the same amount of time.
I know that there is a myth that the farmer's market and organic vegetables are more expensive, but I really haven't seen it. I can't.
Yeah.
If I go to the market and I look at our prices and I compare it to what I'm seeing.
I would think the opposite. Honestly, I would think that a grocery store has to charge more for organics because they have way more overhead.
Yeah.
So, I don't understand that myth either, where people think that a farmer's market's more expensive. It's
I kind of see. I remember 10 years ago, mm-hmm. there was a bit of a price difference, but I've noticed like over the years that it's balancing out, and it's really very close to the same prices. Mm-hmm. You also have to talk about quality.
Yeah.
Right.
And the other thing to think about in terms of is nutrition.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Like the length of time that it's been out of the ground to getting onto your plate is far shorter, which means there's more nutrition in those vegetables.
Yeah. And I would never want to undercut grocery stores. I mean, they still serve of a huge purpose and need. But there's that, if my whatever, if a pound of carrots or 2 pounds of carrots are going to cost me a couple of dollars here or there, I know that right now there's not one grocery chain in town where that money is staying, even in BC, versus if I go to the market and spend the exact same money on better product and everything staying in my town.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's another point around CSAs. Wherever you're listening, I would encourage everybody to participate in CSAs, because what you're doing when you do that is actually growing your local food economy.
Yeah.
You're growing that marketplace, you're growing growers, because in the Comox Valley, I think it's something like of the 28% of ALR land that's being used for growing things, of the 28% of that, of ALR land, 5.8% of it is being used for food.
What?
So that means we don't have any food security, right? On the island,
wow.
we have, right? I'm sure you guys have talked about this. It's less than 2 days on the island. So if you think that's important, then you want to support your local growers, whether it's at the farmer's market or through a CSA,
right.
so that you are a part of growing that economy, because of course it's hard for growers to make money, right? Yeah. A CSA is one of those ways where we can actually know we're going to have this amount of income.
Yeah.
Right. So you can plan a little bit ahead and
you can plan for growth.
Right.
And then as we grow, other growers grow as well. And hopefully, you know, you have a thriving food economy here.
Yeah. And I think we used to, and I think it's slowly coming back again. So it's nice to be able to have food security.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of scary when you realize how much food actually comes offshore.
Yeah.
Just to support this little island.
Yeah,
which
they say in BC it's 3 days, but on the island, because of our geography, we're down to 2 days.
So 2 days, if we had absolutely cut off from the mainland, that's how much food we have. For our, that's incredible. Sorry, just to sort of backpedal and switch gears a tiny bit. What may I ask? How many other CSAs are there? Programs there are in the valley? As like, not to say that there's, you know.
I'm guessing that there's going to be a few more showing up in the next few years. It seems to be kind of catching on, and I know of a few young farmers that are wanting to start up in the area. But currently, it's really limited. I think Keller Farm in Black Creek, I believe. I know they did last year.
Wow.
And I've
seen
a few.
There was a little one in Cumberland at Ashbury last year, but I'm not sure if they're doing it again this year. I think we might be the only one. Yeah.
Every once in a while, you'll see a box or a small box on the Facebook pages, right? So, but I've not seen.
Yeah, there may be a few other really small ones that we just haven't heard about yet, but it's pretty limited as of now, and I imagine it'll become more and more popular in the next few years.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Well, hopefully, not to toot our horn, but I was like, hopefully more people give it exposure like us, like drawing attention to them and saying, hey, this is fantastic opportunity to support local farmers.
Yeah, and get some great local food out there. Yeah. So, now, someone who wants to get a CSA, how would they go about it?
They can visit our website, mervilleorganics.ca.
Great.
And there's a link to 2017 CSA. And you read through it, and we ask you to just really know what you're getting into. So we've got a full page, and then you can sign up right there.
Wow. Yeah, there's all kinds of photos from boxes from the last couple years, and lots of information up there. You can get a really
good. Just out of curiosity, and only because this totally applies to me, and not.
Are you hungry?
No. I was going to say, being that this happens over the course of the summer, and I don't know, people might be reluctant because they have a week of summer vacations that they're away, or 2 weeks. How does that get managed? Can you deliver it to my neighbor instead and they can enjoy it?
We encourage people to kind of hand it off to a friend if that works for you. And we do also offer a voucher. If you give us enough notice so that we cannot harvest that produce, as in a good few days notice, so that food stays in the ground and it's not wasted, then we can give you a voucher towards a future farmer's market in place of that one box that you miss.
That's incredible. That's awesome.
And there's also the opportunity, if, say, you can't make it that week, that you can just let us know, and you can encourage us to donate it to someone who might need that food as well, and we will do that.
Right.
Yeah, it's we have a few donation boxes up for. We received a little bit of funding to provide a few. I think it's 5 CSA boxes to families in need this year. And we also quite often bring market leftovers and stuff to the Transition Society or soup kitchens in the valley. Or there was a group home in Campbell River that we were bringing stuff to. So
fantastic.
So that's another reason maybe for people who are unsure about being able to fully commit that they could donate it, or they could definitely hand it off to a friend or something like that. So I know it is a long time over the summer. And
it is it's a little bit of a daunting commitment for some people. Another thing that has worked for a lot of our members is just to share it with a friend, because especially if you have a smaller family or if you're single, if you have get 2 people to go in on 1 box, then you have flexibility.
Right.
And if there's happens to be 1 vegetable you don't like, then it doesn't get wasted because your friend will eat it.
Yeah. Although we are implementing something this year called the swap box.
Oh.
So when you go to pick up your box, say there's something in there like, you've had too much garlic and you just have, you know, you've got 8 bulbs of garlic, you don't want any more garlic.
I don't believe that.
I know. You take that garlic and you can trade it out for something else in the box.
Oh, well, that's fantastic.
Just a little bit of flexibility.
That's great. Fantastic. Well, thank you for coming in and, you know, educating us on CSAs.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah. Well, I have to just bring up a funny story.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm totally ratting out our Dine Around crew that we had in here two episodes ago.
Okay.
But Darren brought up the next episode we were going to be talking about the CSAs.
You're not going to rat them out.
Oh, I'm totally going to rat everyone out. And all of us, Darren's like, and we're going to talk about CSAs. And we all stopped for a second and we're like, what does that stand for?
Actually, Ronald was the closest. He was like, community supported, but everybody was like, it's a community.
I got agriculture. I know it's cool.
Yeah, it was. Nobody can put it together. Oh, now no one's going to come on the show. They're going to talk about us in the next episode.
Anyways, well, thank you very much for coming in and
Thanks
chatting
so much
with
for
us.
Letting us yeah.
Really, really enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah.
And definitely would love to have our listeners get a hold of you at Merville Organics and definitely sign up for a CSA and hopefully help you guys grow the company and so you can get an administrator in and really start getting some food out there.
Yeah.
And also just like to thank our listeners for tuning in again and listening to the Edible Valley podcast. And don't forget to check us out at our web or our Facebook at the Edible Valley podcast. Check out our tweets at the Edible Valley. And of course, send any comments or stuff to us at theediblevalley@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. And don't forget to go on and review all our episodes. We'd love to get some feedback, and it helps us promote and get the news out about what's going on in this community.
And and we wouldn't be able to do that without our trusty sponsors, the Butcher's Block in Courtney, Atlas Cafe, who's been one of our biggest supporters since the beginning. We also have Ivan's Truffles and Kirsten Wood Music, and of course Studio Live here in Cumberland, and most recently westcoastprovisions.com for all their support as well. Thanks
for listening to the Edible Valley podcast.